reading, which is Psalm 47. Psalm 47 is a psalm which communicates the exuberance and jubilation of an enthronement. And the king enthroned is God himself. It has been understood by many scholars that Psalm 47, along with Psalms 93 and 95 to 99, arose out of an annual festival which dramatized God's power over his foes and his kingship over creation. This is certainly the driving point overall of Psalm 47. And it is a truth about God meant to comfort his people and put fear in his enemies. In verses 1 through 4, Psalm 47 begins with a confirmation as to why all the nations, all peoples, as it says in verse 1, should cheer and commend the greatness of God and indeed fear his name. And the reason they should do this is because of God's provision and affection for his people. The thinking of the psalm runs like this in verses 1 through 4. All peoples, referring to all the nations, shout in worship to God, a great king who shows how fearful and great he is by what he has provided for his people, the heritage he has chosen for them, and the affection he has set on them, those whom he loves. That is the great sense of verses 1 through 4. This kind of thinking may seem strange to us, but it shouldn't. Think about this, because we see this throughout Scripture. When pagans take notice of how God sustains his people, it should put fear in them. It should put fear in them. How many rulers of the earth have mustered all they have to stamp out God's people, to silence the church of Jesus Christ? And yet, they have never succeeded. They have never succeeded. While they have banished or tortured or even executed many of God's saints through the ages, yet the witness of Christ in his people has persevered from one generation to the next. And the response of the world to this fact, Psalm 47, verses 1 through 4 says, the response of the world should be fear and awe. Fear and awe. And so the sons of Korah exhort by the inspiration of the Spirit, breathing these words in them, clap your hands, all peoples, all nations. Shout to God with loud songs of joy, for the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. And why? Verses 3 and 4 tell us. He subdued peoples under us the people of God, and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. Beloved, the truth of what we're seeing here in these first four verses, and especially in verses 3 and 4, is confessed in our confession. In chapter 5 of the Providence of God, in the Second London Baptist Confession, listen to paragraph 7. As the providence of God does in general reach to all creatures. So God governs all the affairs of all men, of all his creatures. So as the providence of God does in general reach to all his creatures, so after a most special manner, God's providence takes care of his church and disposes of all things to the good thereof. Psalm 47 is saying God takes care of his church in a special way, a unique way, a peculiar way that no one else in the world has that favor, that benefit. Only God's people, only the church of Jesus Christ has this special benefit. But what is truly astounding and amazing is that the psalmists in Psalm 47 are actually commanding the nations, take notice of this. Be aware of this and how God does take care of his people. Because frankly, this should scare you. It should scare you. Because how do the nations treat God's people? Not in a good way. They oppose the people of God because they oppose the God of the people. And yet the psalmists are saying, you nations should bow down and worship God. And you should be in awe in him and in fear of him because of how you do witness the reality, the fact of the way in which he preserves his people from one generation to the next. What did Jesus tell his apostles in Matthew 16, verse 18 about his church? He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Death will not overtake my building, my church, in every age, in every generation. I will have my people. And Psalm 47 is saying, in that line, in that spirit of thinking, pay attention to this world. Pay attention. And bow before God in how he is protecting, preserving his people. How many Christians do you think even have this as a category in their thinking, who think like this? Because suddenly this says something about the peculiar love God has set on his people that he does not have for the rest of the world. And therefore, the peculiar way he supplies for his own that he does not give to the rest of the world. His people are a special people because they're his chosen. His chosen. Not that there's anything special in us. It's because the Lord has chosen us. He's elected us. He has set his love on us. And because of that, he says to the world, stand in awe of this and how I will do good in a very peculiar way from my own that I withhold from you. Wow. We need to think more along these lines. That's biblical thinking. Let's pray. Blessed eternal Father, it should astonish us at how, Lord, you have set your love upon us, even from all eternity. Love upon an innumerable number of sinners out of Adam's fallen race that you have chosen before the foundation of the world to be your own, to be set apart in a fallen world by your saving grace and your sanctifying grace, to be preserved by you, O Lord, despite whatever trials and troubles we face by a world that is hostile to you and therefore hostile to your people because we are your people. And yet, blessed Father, it is an amazing thing that we have beheld this morning from your word in Psalm 47 that you command the world to clap their hands, to commend your greatness and to be in fear of you because of how you do indeed protect and provide and set your affection upon your people, your church in a way that no other sinners in the world get that kind of attention from you. And yet, Lord, how often do we as your people even think like this about you and your covenant, eternal love that you've set upon us and how that works itself out in the world in which we live, this fallen, hostile world? Lord, we pray, forgive us for every time that as your people we have taken for granted or we have been indifferent or we have not thought great thoughts enough about your covenant love toward us, your holy affection you've placed upon us, and the most amazing ways that you do indeed provide for us as your people, because we are your people, bought, purchased by the blood of your eternal Son, and sealed with the Holy Spirit. We pray, blessed Father, that as your people, in response to these first opening verses of Psalm 47, Lord, may a greater and deeper holy gratitude well up in us toward you for your goodness and kindness, for your love and mercy that is so peculiar and so unique that you have set upon those you chose to be your own and you gave to your Son before the world was ever created. And how that in every generation, as your word teaches us, Lord, you will have a people who praise your name as your people. And oh, Father, how we thank you that even in this generation, we should be found as your people that you have saved and redeemed and set apart for your glory. And oh, how we give you thanks for the good that you are always doing for us because we are your people united to your Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Father, thank you. In all these things, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.